stuff the preacher's been preaching on about the singing and stuff, and you read your Bible, you start to find out that there just might be a little hint that God made you.
Amen.
Okay? I was leaving work, and the fellow who's taken over a certain building that they put security in recently, before I could get changed to leave, I had to make 3 visits to the garage because he set it off 3 times. I got 2 phone calls from the monitoring company. My point being, he had not quite got the hang of it yet. You know who's got the hang of you?
Amen.
God.
Yes.
You know what this is right here? This Bible? You know what this is? This is straight from heaven, from the one who made you.
Amen.
I want you to think about it for just a moment. He made you.
Amen.
Man, there are some things I know that are, you know, just wasted information. But when you're trying to solve a problem and you get on there online and find manuals and all this stuff and download them PDFs, it is a blessing. You know what the greatest blessing is? When you find out something written by the people who made it.
Amen.
We've got 3 different doors there, roll-up doors. And so the first 2, I got a little thing I carry on my belt so I can have it. They learned just like that when I went there. We put a new one in. I was doing everything. I'm on the ladder. I'm down the ladder, up the ladder, doing everything I did with the first 2. You know what the assumption I made wrong was? That they're all the same.
Yeah.
And thankfully, the guy had left in a pile of stuff the instructions to this particular door. It took me 30 seconds to do it. And I didn't have to use a ladder.
Lord.
Man, I just thought about this book.
Yeah.
You know what he said in that book? He said, 2 books you need, a Bible and a hymn book. The book and hymn book. That's what he said. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He knows you. Get good music, you get good thoughts. You get bad food, you get bad indigestion, or worse. Get bad music, get a bad spiritual outcome. It's just really practical, okay? And I just thought of all that because we have in our hands tonight, you and I have this incredible thing. And those words to those songs and stuff, the reason they're so special, it's not about, oh, well, you want something that was written X amount of years ago. No, here's what I do know. There was a time when God was clearly speaking. For example, you've got a Bible that finds its roots 400 years ago. There is no doubt that you're going to find at that time period God chose to speak. And I don't want to offend anybody needlessly, but he didn't ask your permission or mine.
Man.
Well, now, Michael, what do you think about me speaking 400 years ago? He's never asked my opinion about anything, actually.
Man.
A few times when I started to give it, he was kind of like the Marine DI that said it to the troop, if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. Okay? That's how the Lord is. And the longer you walk with him, the longer you realize, well, that's the way it ought to be. How could I possibly have a thought that didn't occur to him? How can I inform God about anything? Have you not thought sometimes God must have gotten taken by surprise because you did? And then you go, well, he didn't get taken by surprise, so maybe I just need to stop. And that song, Take Time and Be Holy, you know, it says, be calm in thy soul. You know what the Navy SEALs say? Calm is contagious. Calm is contagious. And when you're a Christian and you approach it calmly, it is contagious. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 13 tonight. I was really praying, what should we look at? This is a pretty simple truth.
Yeah.
We're about, we're in into September now, and this truth just kept jumping out at me, and I know it's not a new truth, okay? And it's connected. It'd be connected to our missions program. We prayed for our missionaries tonight, but it's really connected to the entire world around you. And it's a simple little statement in Matthew 13, verse 44. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field.
Yeah.
Now let me say this, I am totally aware that there are some differences between the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. I'm totally aware of that. But there are also amazing similarities. And it's where the similarities occur that you and I can safely learn something about the age we live in. Where they are exception to each other is where we realize that part of that kingdom of heaven is talking about a different time, and the kingdom of God is talking about now. Where they agree, they're talking about both. It's really simple. Here, this statement tonight is about an amazing picture, if you'll get it. And it runs a little bit contrary to the modern day view we would have of life or our instincts. It doesn't follow our instincts. Notice what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth, that field. So watch this. He takes the treasure. He's going along a field and he finds a treasure. It could be anything you want. If it's a treasure, it's going to be pretty valuable. It could be gold, for example, and he finds gold laying there. Or he finds it in that field. And the Bible says he hides it. And then he goes, and he doesn't try to buy the treasure. He buys the whole field to get the treasure. Okay? He buys the whole field to get the treasure. Now, there's some great wisdom in that. If he just said, I'd like to buy this square foot out of this, number one, he may miss something else that's in the field that's connected to that treasure. And number two, he's going to have to pay for the treasure instead of just the field. You see, when you think about this, the Bible says that he died for whom? The ungodly. It says, for God so loved what? The world. The great picture is that Jesus Christ bought the world to get whosoever will.
Amen.
And he doesn't feel ripped off. And he doesn't feel cheated. And whatever percentage you might say, people truly come to Christ, say it was 10, 20, 30, 40%, whatever. He's not disappointed because he wanted the treasure. And that's why he came to earth. Now, as a place, this world, let's face it, it's full of corruption. It's full of an antichrist spirit, the Bible tells us. It already is at work, okay? We know that. But you see, what God's doing is he's still trying to call out treasure from the field that he bought. I don't know if it ever really sinks in sometimes with us, but get this. Christ died for the what? Someone? Ungodly. So Christ died for the world. Now in your Bible, this world, this word field is a gospel term. We talk about somebody going to a mission field. When you're doing military work, you're out in the field. When you're out there growing stuff, you do it in a field. When you're raising livestock, you do it in a field. This Bible is just, man, you can't beat this book. It is down to earth where we live.
Yes, sir.
But the picture is, and I'm going to preach to you for a few minutes on buying the field. Now, this is not like buying a field on the side. Had a young man in an institute over there, and he had made some pretty good money as a professional painter and stuff, and he had a little parcel of ground over here. He had put a few dollars on and paid a few bucks a month and this and that. This is not like that. This is not an incidental purchase. Got to get that in your mind. This is not just something that happened. The known treasure made it worth it all. Now, you and I don't know what's out there. But God does. And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. To me, this thing's really simple. And the more I read, the simpler it is. You ready? He shed his blood and he bought the world. There is no person on earth whose sins have not been paid for.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Nobody. But there are millions who have not cashed in on that payment. Right? And it's sad to me. I don't think there's anything that could break my heart like that thought. I mean, you see these young men coming back from war, and you fellows who've served know, and their bodies are beat up, and their minds are beat up, and they still don't know Christ.
Amen.
That's the tragedy to me. The tragedy is, and I saw Marcus Luttrell, and he's a big old strapping boy, done two tours as a SEAL. He was the one that was lone survivor. The tragedy isn't that his body's beat up before he's 40. The tragedy is, I wrote him a letter, sent him tracts and stuff, is that he might not be saved. That's the tragedy.
Man.
And the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for everybody so that anybody could get in.
Mm-hmm.
He bought the field. And so it's a gospel term. It's something that is so significant. And I just want to make three little statements, observations. The first one is the treasure discovered. The treasure discovered. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in what kind of vessel? Earthen. We're just a clay pot. And what amazes me is how durable our body is and how fragile our body is. Man, you can go through some hard stuff and tough stuff and come out the other side and they can put you back together and you can get a little old bug inside you and that's it. It's amazing to me how durable life is and how fragile the same life can be. I mean, after all those years and all we've been through, I can still remember an institute one night, it's wintertime, and I get a phone call, it's just landline in those days, and I could barely make out the voice, and it was my dad. And he was 50 or 51, and we were going through institute together at the same time. He got saved, got called to preach. In fact, he went to institute, had no idea of ever preaching. And it was wintertime, and he had this little old house, he and my baby brother and my mother were living in across from the institute, and he had a little wood-burning stove, and I didn't know this at the time, but he'd gone out, this is after being run over by horses, just all kind of stuff. And an ant had bit him. And when I got there, he was almost gone. And I threw him in the back seat of the car. And I had a guy from the institute driving. And I'm doing all I can just to keep air going, keep him breathing. Got him in the hospital, and they, boom, hit him, and he came out of it. And after he came out, I started laughing. I said, hey, you know what, old boy? I said, you've lived through all these things. Hey, when I was a kid, when I was just a little old guy, one time he came home late. And there, about half a mile from our house, was a real busy railroad track that went right through Grove City, Ohio. And he walked in the door, and my mother, we weren't saved or nothing, so she was expressing how disappointed she was that he was late. She was nagging him a little bit. And he's like, not tonight, Sam. Not tonight. And she's like, why have you been around? He said, not tonight. And he sat down. I still remember, sat down at that little oval table, and she kept on. He said, that does it. And he grabbed her hand, and we started walking up the street. And we got to the railroad tracks, and there's ambulances. Now, this is probably about 1963, 64, okay? Ambulances ever, the big old giant ambulances and all that stuff. And our car is there, and it is literally both ends folded on top of itself. And they're looking for a body. And it's our car. And he walks up, and he says to the guy, shock's just about to set in, he says, sir, that's my car. And he says, hey, get out of here, buddy, you know. He said, no, that's my car. And he said, you'll find my wallet somewhere in there because it came out. And they found his wallet. And the policeman turned pale. He goes, you want to sit down? He goes, I think I do now. It was starting to get that way. My mother, she just conked out. You know, and they're doing the smelling salts and waving at her and all this stuff, you know. She's about this tall. And I mean, when it hit her, man alive. He lived through all that. Are you listening to me? He lived through all that, and he almost died from an ant bite. Life is durable and it is fragile. It is crazy, life is. My point is this. We live in an earthen vessel. So did he die to save this life? No. He died to save me and you, our soul, our spirit. Amen? You gotta let that sink in a little bit. See, the modern appeal is to now, to this, to now, to this, to now. What I can see. And God says, no, I wouldn't have let my son die for your earthen body. Yeah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Here's one. The Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Psalm 135, 4. John 4, you know what he said? Lift up your eyes and see. It's white unto harvest. See, the Lord Jesus Christ knew he was going to do that. Acts chapter 8, what does he do? He takes a fellow who's in the middle of a great revival and he says, I need you to go out in the desert. Well, Lord, I'll get to that in a little while. I got a great revival. He said, I said, get going. And on the way, he's like, what am I going to do? He said, I've got a fellow. A fellow? Yeah, I've got a fellow out there. And he runs along and he catches this guy and he leads him to Christ, and the fellow keeps right on going down to Ethiopia with a Bible and the gospel. One man to a whole country. But Simon called last night, and he was tired. And preacher will tell you, when you pour yourself out like that, like yesterday's Chambers devotion, but they had 30 unsaved people there, townspeople, Sunday morning, when they had the opening of their building. Now, I mean, he and I were talking. And it goes back a long time. And it was a decision he made. I said, you know, Simon, I know most people, and maybe some of y'all can't understand, and I do understand if you don't. But you know what he is? He's a missionary to his own people. Yeah. I've lived in that country many, many years. I've been all over it. I've driven 120 miles in the bush to find one guy. So I know what I'm talking about. He's a missionary to his own people. What we have here is really strange to people over there, even to so-called independent Baptists. My point being this. There was a time in his life when he got a glimpse of the treasure in the souls of men. And when he got that glimpse, it changed how he thought. The Lord Jesus had to come here so he could go to the world. You say, well, a small percentage. Yeah, it is. The broad way leads to hell and the narrow way leads to heaven. But I thought about this. I've seen this happen many, many a time. Preacher's about to go to Romania, for example, he and Brother Joe. I've seen this happen. Preacher will tell you this. You say, well, the treasure discovered. I've seen men visit a field and get called to that field. But not because of the field. I'll tell you what you do. We'll take a trip to New Guinea. I've been there many a time. You won't get called to New Guinea because of the field. When you're going through the bush and at night they're telling you, you better really tuck that mosquito net in because we're in cerebral malaria country. You ever see, I saw a guy, one of the nationals, with cerebral malaria. It'll tear your heart out. And the next thing it'll do is strike fear into you and you pray, Lord, don't, it's brain malaria, okay? So take the worst flu you've ever had and put it in your brain. And you see, the idea is this, it's not about the field. It's about they go and they get a glimpse of the treasure. Preacher goes to Romania, his heart's there because of the treasure, not the field. Some fields are better. I imagine some people would be tempted if there was a call for missionaries to Hawaii, okay, or someplace like that. Yeah. Brother B is signing up in the back right now. He's waving his hand at me. But I thought of just some little sayings like malaria and military dangers and marriage threats. You know, William Carey's wife did not get on the boat with him when he left for the mission field. She refused to go with him. You know what they do today? They tell, well, William, you can't go. It's not God's will unless. He said, no, God told me to go. You know what she did as soon as that boat took off? She went to his friends and said, I have made the biggest mistake of my life. Find a way for me to meet that ship where it puts in next. And they made post haste and did. You see, we are wrong somewhere in our thinking that people come ahead of the field. And comfort comes ahead of the field. Because it's not about the field. It's about the treasure in the field. That's what you were. I thought about how God hunted down a little boy that grew up around racehorses and found him in the middle of Central Florida. You know, the Lord had to keep track of me as much as we raced horses everywhere. I mean, man, we didn't bother changing postal addresses. We just didn't bother having one. I got to thinking one time, you know, in high school they gave us this thing. I think it was my junior or senior year. And you're supposed to do this biography I was like, I can't fill this thing out. I can't remember where I've been. So you know what I did? I wrote down the racetracks we raced at. And the teacher called me in, and she's like, what are you, being a smart aleck? I said, no, may I explain? And I did. And she patted me on the shoulder and said, I get it, I get it. I said, ma'am, I can tell you where I've been. I said, I can tell you how to get there, but I ain't got no idea about all that other stuff. You know, some people buy something not knowing what's in it. I read about a lady, a wealthy lady, and she had taken some very, very, very expensive, valuable jewels and put them in one of those little electric shaver kits to hide it and stuck it up in the closet. And a few years went by, and somebody in the neighborhood was having one of those yard sales for charity, and she just grabbed stuff out of that closet and sold it. And about a month later, she thought, you know what? Where did I put that stuff? And then, bing, it dawned on her. They sold that thing probably for $2 at a garage sale, and somebody hit the jackpot.
Amen.
But you see, they didn't know what they were getting.
Yeah. Amen.
But instead, this story says someone went and bought a whole field because of the treasure that was in it. See, it's not an emotional appeal, but it is a gospel truth. For every person that has purposely sold and bought the field, there's people out in the world that make money by accident, but that's not how salvation work gets done. Gospel work has never gotten done haphazardly by accident. It's always taken a concentrated effort. So the treasure discovered. Then secondly, the transaction that's demanded. Now let me say this. We could talk for a while here about this treasure. Do you understand that even though you may not look, you know, local churches amuse me. I've been around a long time, 40 years now, and I really enjoy watching people. What I love is standing up here sometimes or sitting in, I loved in the back during prayer requests. That was a blast. And watching everything. And Lana Bennett became Brother Bennett. And he got a heart transplant, okay? And I'm back there. I am just dying laughing. Because here's the thing. That nowhere on earth do you get the variety of people like you do in a local church of saved people. Because the thing we have in common is salvation. We would never hang out with each other otherwise, I'm telling you. We would not hang out together. I mean, I'm so gracious I'd hang out with all of you, but y'all wouldn't hang out with me. No, I'm just kidding. But what I'm saying is you wouldn't. God's family is the most unusual family on earth because the thing that put you together is that you were a treasure He went and bought a field for. You happen to be in the field called this world. Amen. Now outside those doors is a field. And there's a whole lot of that field ain't worth much. But you might want to be careful. You might be like the old fellow I worked for, seriously, down in Central Florida. Always chewed tobacco, a hair in his mouth. Didn't wear anything but bib overalls and a t-shirt all the time. And one day he said to me, come with me, son, we're going to go buy a tractor. So I'm like, I'll bet we are, you know, little old tractor. Oh no. We went down to the tractor dealership when we're looking at humongous brand new tractors. Nobody would come wait on us. So finally one guy came out, and I know what happened. He drew the short straw. And it's boiling hot. It's summertime. They're like, go wait on the old bumpkin, okay? He's walking around talking to him. And as he's asking questions, I realize this old boy knows a whole lot more than people think. He's got all the right questions about the motor, the die. And he said, well, sir, what do you want to do? He said, I want to buy it. He said, well, how are you going to pay for it? He said, cash.
Man.
And he reached in the bib overalls, and he started pulling out thousands and thousands of dollars in cash.
Man.
And I was almost dying laughing. The guy's face, I thought he was going to pass out. But the other thing I thought is, I'll bet he's going in and rub it in their noses. Y'all wouldn't wait on him. I saw that. You know, no, he got sent out there. He probably was the rookie and got kicked out the door. My point is this. You don't know who's a treasure out there.
That's right.
Amen.
And I may not be much now, but I really wasn't much when God found me.
Yes. Amen.
I mean, I was less than a nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't know what God might find.
That's right.
God took an old man off the racetrack and sent him to California. And one of the early members, one of the charter members of Hell's Angels, on an Easter Sunday morning, walked down the middle aisle of that old church building and got saved.
Amen.
And for 12 months before that, about twice a month, he'd bring somebody from his old gang. And he was a big old boy. And when he spoke, you listened. And he'd say, Dan, this guy needs to be saved. I'll be back in an hour. They get saved. And they got in too. He'd say, you need to get saved. He says, no, God couldn't save me. And I mean, I know why he did. He didn't believe it, but he did. He was a treasure.
Amen.
And we could go on and on and on. They're fellowshipping with Brother Ted and Miss Lynn. Brother Ted could, time would not allow to tell you all the treasures that he found Amen. In the bush and the swamps of Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
But you know what he had to do first? Secondly, was the transaction that was demanded. Look at the verse with me. Hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, would you mark these words, selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. This field had a price, and it happened to be all he could muster up. Was the field worth it? No. Was the treasure worth it? Oh, man. You know, could you ever really put a value on a soul? If you'd slow down long enough, get away from the world long enough for a little while, put your nose in this book a little while, think about your own soul, or your children's soul, or your parents' soul, or your grandparents' soul, or anybody else's soul. Could you ever really give too much to get one soul? Since he gave his all. And you know, we all purposed in our heart the faith purpose giving. I think God just wants us to remind ourselves, and it's about our community too, but could there be anything that you could give that would be too much for God to save somebody?
Yeah.
But he had to give it all. He had to sell it all. Haven't you ever thought about that's why we call it that in God's work? Phyllis says, Lord, I'm selling out to you. I'm just selling out, Lord. And you know, it's not always giving it away right then. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, I wish I could baptize all my converts with their wallet in their pocket.
Amen.
He said, I wish I could baptize their money too. And what he was saying was this, is I just wish people would realize if he has all of me, including what I have, because here's what he said in Luke chapter 12, okay? And think about how powerful this is. Luke chapter 12, he says in verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. But in verse 34, he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know why at this age, with all the old behind him and sitting down there, men and old soldiers of the cross, some have gone on, some are like Brother Ted and him. You know why they can be satisfied in their heart, though they wish they were still there, why they are content at what they paid? Because they know they paid the right price. They paid it all. See, we've got a hymn. It says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. There's nothing he could ask. There's not a thing he could ask that'd be too much. But what blesses him is if I realize it and say, Lord, here's a transaction that's demanded. It's yours. Sell all, spend all, secure the treasure. You know, in Luke 18, everybody argues about whether he's telling this guy how to get to heaven, that so-called rich young ruler, and all that sort of thing. I think one of the things that amazes me is here's what they miss. He says, do all this, and he says, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now, if you want security, that's it. You know, now what they're doing is turning people against the government to get them to buy gold, right? And just what exactly do you think you're going to be able to do with that gold when the government makes their rules or somebody with a bigger gun shows up?
Yeah.
There's always somebody with a bigger gun. Trust me, I've been there. And the idea is this, folks. The idea is, Lord, I want security. He said, sell what you have, give the poor, come follow me. And what? You get to heaven? No, he said, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. If I could have treasure where, that's where I'd want it.
Amen.
The righteous giveth and spareth not, Proverbs 21:26. You know what the great leader said? There's no cheap victories. So we sing a hymn that says this, Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit what? Control. Here's what's happened today, folks. People are trying to buy the field with as little as possible. Okay? Churches are doing this. Churches are running programs. And churches are having, you know, they have all kind of activities and they have all kind of approaches. They've even changed their gospel approach, okay? Because what they're trying to do is create a Christianity that doesn't have to sell all to buy the field to get the treasure. And the Bible says there are no cheap victories. There can't be. Because the captain of my salvation led the way. Amen. And Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Here's the temptation, guys. It's to deal with God. Can you picture him going out and trying to buy this small parcel right around the treasure? Can you picture that? Why didn't the Lord, if the Lord was like we are, wouldn't he have said, now he went out and he subdivided and he bought the middle partial. And he sold the others and subdivided them. That would be the typical American approach, amen.
Amen.
No, you know what he did? He bought the whole field and he went and got the treasure and he had joy. And you know when he had joy? This is awesome now. Get this. Look at Matthew where he says, for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath. Hold your place there and come to Hebrews 12 for a minute. You know, I know people can might misread something. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. But a lot of times people just don't slow down and read their Bible. The cross was not joy. He wasn't joyful going through it. But watch. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That's this man that sold all. He had joy while he was doing it, not because it wasn't hurting. Not because the Bible says in chapter 5 he feared. The Bible says in Hebrews here that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. But you know what he's thinking about? He's thinking about 2015 on a Wednesday night. And he's thinking about you sitting here. And he's like, you know, Father, I'll die for the whole world. So that whosoever will can get in. Because some will get in. Some will come. Some will choose. And you're one of those wills. You're a treasure to him. Now, may I say this? You're a treasure to him. Because of what he could do for you, not because of what you were.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What did he see in me? I don't ever want to know. I don't ever want to get a full glimpse of what he saw in me. I just want to see what he can see in me now, his son. Amen. And so I'm saying to you this. Don't deal with him. Beware of the modern Christianity that's always fudging. And I'll do a little extra work in church, Lord. Or I'll do this. Or I'll give more. See, there are times when God taps on a person's shoulder. God will tap on a man's shoulder and say, would you go to this field and buy this field? And he says, but Lord, it'll cost me getting to see my family. Lord, it'll cost me getting to have retirement. Lord, it'll cost me for my parents seeing my grandkids. Lord, it'll cost me having to pray and go and trust. And it might cost me my health, Lord. And there are fewer men going today. Because here's the principle. The transaction demanded is all. See, what he says is, lay your all down here. If it costs you your all, it's not a surprise. If it doesn't, praise the Lord. I can safely say this. I would encourage every Christian to be absolutely sure that your all is on the altar. Every day. There is nothing to compare with that peace. You say, well, is it scary? Of course it is. But so are a lot of things. But it's worth the scary part to please him, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. But it's even more than that, that treasure discovered. I like what Chambers says. You got a loved one you want to see saved? Maybe you could ask God to use you to save somebody else's loved one. He'll send somebody to yours. And I'll just say this in closing. The triumph declared. Man, what a good purchase this guy made, huh? Now here's an amazing thing. We are stewards. Okay? For example, he says in 1 Timothy 3, King James English, that deacons can purchase to themselves a good estate. In Revelation 3:18, he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire. We know gold's a picture of faith in your Bible, trust in God. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Do you know what I have seen happen? I have seen it get to the point where in young people's lives that the price of knowing God, the price of learning your Bible, it's just too much in light of what they want to accomplish in life. And Bible colleges have taken the place. So I've been to Bible college, I've been to Bible institute, I've got all that. I'm telling you, it has taken the place of sitting down and knowing God. It has taken the place of taking time and energy and mental power to know God and know this book. I can remember some of the guys, even listen, I watched my dad at 48, actually went down there at 50, 2 years into it, he got called to preach. But I watched a man 50 years old go down and do every kind of odd job you can think of to get through Bible Institute. And thank God they had a nighttime Bible Institute. We got to work in the daytime, a normal type job, and then go to school at night. Our particular year, we went 4 hours a night, 5 nights a week for 3 years. But you and I watched. I thought, if that fella can do it, us young guys ought to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But you know what happened? You know what happened? It started with him saying one thing. If Jesus Christ died for me, I ought to die for him to myself. He had no aspirations. He had no intentions. My point is this. If we're not careful, we forget that we are stewards down here. And so someday what's going to happen is we're going to stand before our great master. And he's going to say, what did you do with your time? What did you do with your treasure? What did you do with your talents? What did you do with your influence? What did you do with your test? What did you do? Well, Lord, I got married, Lord, and I had a wife, and I had some children, and I had a house, and I had a car. And he says, well, everybody does that. What did you do? How much of you did I have? And girls, ladies and women, I can tell you for a fact, I know I have watched men not get to do what God wanted. Because that woman had not given her all in her heart. And she was not going to sell all to get a field. Because she wanted her little home. Wanted her little white picket fence. Wanted her little lifestyle. To the point that she would nag that man. Hold him back. Critique him. Tell him she was smarter than him. Blah, 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 blah. I have watched it in my lifetime. With a broken heart. Because here's what happened. She missed out on standing before God someday. And him reaching out like a father and patting her on the head and say, sure I'm glad you did that, daughter. Sure I'm glad you gave your all. Let me show you what I've got for you. The triumph declared. The joy is in this treasure. Oh my goodness. How many fields could we help with our faith, purpose, giving, help by? You know, I have been on both sides of this for years and years. And I'm going to say this to you tonight. There's not a thing you and I could give that would come near a comparison to what those give in most cases who go. Okay? Those who go, friend. And let me tell you, the really good ones, like the ones we have back there, and get very, very few times are you ever going to know what life is really like for them. I'll tell you how much so it is. That when people visit a mission field, and they're visiting the missionary, they still don't get an idea, most times, what it's like. Because that missionary will tap out, as we used to say, spend their last dollar to make the visitors comfortable and feed them differently. And the preachers go home and they talk about how easy it is on that field, and they have no idea that when they left, they were probably scraping together groceries. And that's not to shame us, but it's such to say this. If we could give our very all, if we tapped out here, we still wouldn't be doing nearly what they're doing by going. And I would encourage you this, that whatever God put in your heart, nobody's tallying it or watching, but here we are about halfway or whatever through it. Let us be reminded that if we want the treasure, we've got to buy the field. And that's what we're helping these fellows do. And let me just say this about our area. You got to buy the field. The reason you put out a track every chance you possibly can that's right is because you don't know where the treasure is, but you know there's a field and there's a treasure in it. And you never know. You never know who's going to get that seed and that thing crop up in there. I wanted to say this. We had Brother Simon over here, and it was a great blessing to him and Miss Janice. They miss being here. That's a big thing. He's not like that. He and I have always just been able to make do wherever we're at. But I'll tell you what it is. What you might not quite get is this. Even though you might think, well, we're kind of a minority here in the States, we are a thriving metropolis compared to over there. And fellowship like he had here, he won't get again until he gets back here next time on a visit. Amen. So when you pray for them, you know what you realize? That even where he's at, he's given his all. When he moved that little town, he said, Lord, where do you want me? He said, I want you to pack up and go to this field. And in this field, I've got some treasure. And he saved one here and he saved one there. The building they have, folks, he hasn't ever mentioned one. He hasn't taken up any offerings for buildings. He hasn't had any programs. And they're sitting there in a several hundred thousand dollar building. And they've fixed it up right. And they've got people coming. And they've got a good spirit. But you know where it all started? It started when a boy in his 20s packed up, moved to a little country town, and said, I want to learn the Bible. And toughed it out. And I'm saying to you, let us remember that we need to be willing to buy the field. When you're putting that faith purpose in there, you're helping them buy that field. You're buying the field because the treasure's in it. Preacher's about to go over there, and Brother Joe to Romania. You know why? There's people there that don't care that he's there. But oh, there's some treasure there, isn't there, preacher? Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And let's do this with your heads bowed and eyes closed for a moment. We're all home folk. It's midweek service. I know in my heart this was our subject for tonight. And I know in my heart that if you're like me, it encourages you to just be sure he has all of you. You say, well, what if this? Well, now, wait a minute. I am so glad somebody didn't do that when it came time for me to get saved. I am so glad the gospel was where I was because somebody gave it all. And so let us remember, we've got a field here around us to buy. Let us remember that we're helping these missionaries buy the field because of the treasure that's in it. And it's okay to have compassion on the missionary, but let us not feel sorry for him, because there is a great reward awaiting them on the other side of glory. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I pray for our dear missionary brethren that we support. I pray for our faith purpose giving. I pray for, here we are, midweek service, Lord, middle of the week. Need a bit of energy to get through the week, Lord. But I pray tonight you would paint a picture for us of how important and worthy this cause is. Oh God, we are so thankful you paid it all. And we do not hesitate to say, all to thee we owe. Father, work in our midst. Thank you so much for this work that you've planted here through preacher Miss Libby. Thank you so much for these dear people. And thank you, Lord, that we're here because someone else bought a field and we were in it. We pray, Lord, now all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We are dismissed.